You're listening to Run Hard, Mom Hard, presented by Treeline Journal and hosted by Nikki Parnell
and Steph Winokur. We're here to listen and share stories of motherhood and life from the trails from mamas who run ultra marathons.
We hope to be a resource and encouragement to all moms who continue to show up, run, and chase their dreams even after having kids. It's not easy, and we'll talk about all the hard and real parts that make up this crazy lifestyle.
But we're also here to celebrate and inspire each other to keep finding their inner mom strength that allows us to show this sport new levels of grit and show our kids that so much is possible.
Welcome to another episode of Run Hard, Mom Hard. This week, we have Jennifer McConaughey on. But before that, Nikki, how's it going? And also, you can hear Henry in the background. He decided not to nap right now while we're recording. So,
well, yeah, same. We're just momming hard over here. So yes, that's where we're at today. So, yeah, life has just been crazy. It's summer. And so that means craziness for all moms, I think. I think that's safe to say, you know, like getting back into a rhythm routine.
Yeah. Without school.
There is no routine.
No.
Or rhythm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like Dash is home now. Although actually he's at camp this week, but cause like we luckily got into something and it was cool. But anyway, we have just been, I mean, he graduated kindergarten and, we had like Chase and I had our 9-year anniversary, and then we had friends come into town, and then we had a wedding, and then it was Father's Day with 3 dads in town. And then it was like, I don't know. I mean, we've just been seeing people and it's been great and wonderful and so filling, but also just full. And so a little tired, you know, but,
yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
It's good though.
And it's the 4th of July. This weekend.
Yeah.
That's insane. I feel like it was just March.
Right. I know. I really don't know how it's almost July. I still think it's May. I like have spent all of June thinking it was May.
No.
Yeah.
This year has just been insane.
Nutty.
So crazy. Yeah. Crazy busy.
Yeah. We have Chase's brother and his wife and their son is coming into town today. And I'm so excited because we haven't met my nephew, like Callum. We haven't met him yet. And so, yeah, it's just, yeah, the busyness continues, but such good things. So what about you, Steph? What's going on in your world?
It has been crazy busy. I feel like we've been camping almost every weekend, which is a lot of fun. But it's a lot of work. Plus we're also renting out our camper, and that has been rented out almost every weekend.
So where people can take it camping, mm-hmm. like come pick it up and
yeah. Yeah. So we have it so that most of the people are coming to pick it up and they have like big trucks enough to tow it with. Mm-hmm. We make sure that they can tow it before they are allowed to leave with it.
Yeah.
But, this weekend, Aaron is delivering it about an hour away.
Okay.
But I mean, they pay for delivery.
Yeah. So, wow. That's a good setup you got there.
Yeah. It's really nice. We have a loan on it. And so it's paying for all of those payments plus some extra. So that's really nice.
Nice.
For the year, just within, I think, 4 trips. And I'm also been running a lot or trying to get back into it just with, it's been so chaotic with everything that was happening with Amelia earlier. And then there's just been a lot of stuff recently that's, I've been trying to do my best, but work gets in the way and life gets in the way.
Yeah.
But I'm still training for the 50 miler. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then, one other update is gas prices are kind of putting a damper on our trip in January.
Oh.
Because it would cost like $9,000.
Just for gas.
Just in gas. And I'm not ready to go broke doing a trip for a couple months.
Right. Well, because you'd get such bad gas mileage. Right?
We get like 8 miles to a gallon.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And, and it's diesel.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. So what we're thinking is we'll probably just go to the Mighty Five in Utah.
What's the Mighty Five?
The national parks.
Okay. So, Arches. So
that would be Arches, Canyonlands, Bryce, Capitol Reef, and Zion.
Okay. Oh, okay. Cool.
And then on our way out there, we'll go through Badlands National Park in South Dakota and Wind Cave National Park. They're both in South Dakota. And then on our way home, we might go through, is it like Sandy Dune? It's in Southern Colorado because we're going to try and avoid most of the mountains in Colorado on our way there and back. So we're going to kind of go drop south
the winter.
Because of the winter.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha. I was like, why did you do that?
I wish we weren't. I would much rather not.
Yeah.
But for safety, we probably shouldn't be driving a 40-foot motorhome through the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the winter.
Totally.
Not that it can't be done. And I mean, Aaron's very capable of driving big things. But we'd rather just, if we can, I mean, we have the time, so we're going to just drive around and not have to worry about it. So
yeah, fair. Well,
yeah,
you know, it's, you're adapting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is fine. So,
mm-hmm.
It'll be fun regardless. And, we're pretty excited for it. So,
good.
But then I won't get to see you, which I'm really sad about.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to scheme up something else.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Anyway. All right. So like I said, we have Jennifer on the podcast today. She is the author of Go Far, How Endurance Sports Help You Win at Life. She has raced in ultra on 5 of the 7 continents, swam Hellespont from Europe to Asia, has climbed several of the 7 summits. She just did a 100-mile paddle that she put on all by herself. She had some crew help her, but she figured out the route and everything. And it's really fun to hear. She is really a great advocate for how you can be an endurance athlete still as a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's so fun to talk to. And she's so inspiring. She's such a dreamer and planner, you know, I mean, and she's, I just know that she's going to come up with some other awesome things to do. Like, I can't wait to see what she does next. She was talking about some doing like swim packing, you know, like bike packing and like camping, but like with swimming, you know, it's so cool. Like she's just fascinating. And, so I think she'll spread that awesomeness to everybody listening today, which is great. And also just kind of, we talk about how mindset plays a big part in ultra sport and also motherhood. And yeah, so it's so good. Such great stuff from Jennifer. So grab your coffee or get out the door for a long run. Give it a listen.
This episode is sponsored by Treeline Coffee. They are a women-owned, ethically sourced coffee roaster out of Bozeman, Montana. They make the most delicious mom fuel, and we have our very own coffee blend called You Got This, where you can fuel up, run hard, mom hard, and repeat, because all of life's adventures deserves good coffee. So go to treelinecoffee.com, use code RUNHARD10 for 10% off your order, and fuel up.
Yeah, it's literally a cup of encouragement for you to get through this life.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good. We're so excited to have you on.
Well, thank you so much.
Before we get into our conversation, can you just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do?
Sure. I am a lifelong outdoor athlete And I live in the Midwest right now, but I have traveled all over the world competing in various kinds of ultra running, mountaineering, adventure racing. And right now I have two young kiddos. I have a little girl who just turned 3 and a little boy who is 1.5 years. So I have sort of this past and all these great stories. And then my current journey is being an endurance athlete as a new mom. And that's kind of where I'm at now. And I've written a book, it's called Go Far, How Endurance Sports Help You Win at Life, about some of those stories and adventures that I've had, and a little bit about motherhood too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. I'm sure life is looking really different, you know, and yeah, we'd love to hear about, you know, how life changes, you know, through motherhood for you, since you've done so many crazy things all over the world, crazy in a good way. First, I guess my first question is, how did you become an endurance athlete? What was your childhood like?
Well, I did my very first run race when I was 7, and I like to think that I've been running and racing ever since then. And it was challenging. It was hard then, and it's still hard today. So I feel like as much as I love trying new sports, and I'm a triathlete too, so I'm always trying to incorporate biking and swimming. And I just came off of a big paddle as well. But I always come back to running, because it seems to be, it's such a great base. And even as a kid, I always kind of had running. I did a lot of swimming too, a lot of competitive triathlons. My family would travel around doing that as well. And then, you know, middle school sports, high school sports, I was a collegiate rower. And then after that, I really got back into competitive triathlons and adventure racing. And out of that kind of stemmed marathons. And then I started doing ultras, and then doing some international distances and events, multi-day stage races. Mm-hmm. So 3 days, 5 days, different types of climbs and travels. So just always trying to take that base that I had as a childhood athlete, always like to do stuff outside, and expanding that as I was in different phases of my life, and expanding that today as well. And I've had some kind of fun iterations over the last few years of taking those concepts and morphing them into where I am today.
Yeah. How did you travel growing up, or how did you kind of get your travel bug where you were going all over the place?
We did. My family did a lot of stateside travel. We did a few international trips, and I always like to learn about new cultures, try new food, read literature from, watch movies from different countries and different cultures. And so I found, when I started incorporating adventure sports into my traveling, that was a really great way to like totally be immersed in the environment and be literally like in the middle of the backwoods of a country, instead of just, you know, go there, see the sights, take in the museums, but then go climb a mountain for 2 weeks in the Caucasus Mountains in Russia, or go, you know, explore the colonial heritage and the indigenous cultures of Peru, but then, you know, do a hike as well, or, you know, run through Iceland. I did an event there, an ultra run, and it was something that backpackers would take 4 days hiking through, like a backpacking trip, which I also love to do and is great, but I was able to do that in 1 day on a run race in 8-9 hours. So it's kind of like, it's kind of a way to see, you know, travel on speed, you know, because you're running fast through things. So I think I've always been interested in it, and still am, even in the last few years when we haven't had as many options. And in my book, I always try, we did a lot more local exploring. And you know, when you're always trying to go to the big places, I want to go to this country, I want to go here, it gave us a chance to explore a lot of state parks that I'd always wanted to go have adventures and hikes and runs in. And I was never taking the time, because I was always focused on like, I'm going to go to the Canary Islands instead of going to, you know, my state park that's a few hours away. So that's been fun too. And I think that with children, that's really what we've been able to do more of, is it's not that we can't go and do things. We just have to do them a little bit differently than we did them before.
Right. Right. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, things don't become impossible, but yeah, it's just, it's different. And I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you stay a little closer to home sometimes, you know, maybe there's less of the big travels, but yeah, I mean, so can you tell us like what, like a bit about some of your favorite, like most memorable adventures you've done, like the ones that just really stick with you?
Sure. One of my favorite stories, because this was, I kind of have a story of my dad. My dad has always been into running. And when I started doing triathlons, he started doing adult triathlons. And so he kind of got me into ultra running and introduced the idea that, hey, you can train for a marathon. And then let's just keep training. And then in a couple of weeks, let's go ahead and do an ultra. And this is a few, you know, several years ago before they were, I knew a few people that had done them, but they weren't quite mainstream. And so doing that was just kind of a big jump. And having somebody that like wanted to do that with me and was kind of doing it already. Sometimes I would push myself and do things that I hadn't thought of doing because I was like, oh, I know somebody who's going to do this. My dad had climbed Kilimanjaro. And at the time I thought, oh, why would you go climb a crazy tall mountain in Africa? I just didn't feel like I needed to do that. And then after college, I suddenly, the more I read and learned, I was like, I have to go do that too. And so that's kind of how some of that evolved, is just knowing somebody or hearing about an idea or kind of seeing it, like see it once, see it twice, see it another time. You're like, I've got to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I started getting these ideas. But one of my favorite races that I never thought I would do anything like this was going to the desert of Namibia, which is a country kind of close to South Africa in Africa, and doing a 5-day desert stage race, running across the sand dunes. And so it wasn't just 100-mile ultra, it was 5 days in a row of ultra like distances running in an extreme climate. And at the time when my dad had told me about that, I was just like, why? I remember buying him these special gaiters, shoe protectors for Christmas one year. And I was just like, it's so crazy. It's so out there. But the more I like got used to the idea, I decided I wanted to do it too. And, you know, again, it was like, well, this is a great way to travel and see a country that I didn't know anything about before. I can learn about, I can visit, I can explore, and really push myself to the extreme, running in that type of extreme heat. It was beautiful. It was vast, lot of growth as far as like, I really want to do this, but I really want to stop too. Yeah. So how do you find a way to keep going and kind of using some of those elements? One of the things I just did last week, I did a 100-mile paddle.
Oh my goodness.
Nonstop. So taking the concept of 100-mile run. And you know, you might stop at an aid station to change your shoes or fill up your hydration bladder, or you know, refill your nutrition. So I did approach the paddle like that. A lot of people do these ultra trips and they sleep or they camp, or it's, you know, this was a real endurance paddle. So I don't want to say nonstop because I did have to stop and like get out of the boat every couple of hours and refill, but it was like an ultra run. And so it was pretty much self-supported. I had a small team with me. It wasn't a race because I couldn't find a race that I wanted to do. So I kind of designed it. And I write a lot about kind of how to do that and how to take a goal or an adventure that you want to do and creating your own. Mm-hmm. But that was something that I did as a mom of two. And it took me a couple years to plan because for the first couple of years, I couldn't be gone from my kids for that long with nursing. Right. And, you know, I love the women ultra runners that have, you know, their babies come out and at checkpoints and transitions and they nurse their kids. And I'm like, oh, they're just like my heroes. And mm-hmm. I could never figure out like how I was going to get a child to me on the paddle without them being, you know, stuck in a car seat all day. And I waited until they were old enough for me to be away from them, but I didn't want to be gone from them for, you know, more than a couple of days because they're still really young. And so I had mm-hmm. to really work to solve all these contingency plans, especially mm-hmm. like in training, and all these things came out of that one experience. And so that was a way that I took my running background and parlayed it into a totally different sport, but it's kind of the same concepts because I like being kind of a multidisciplinary athlete and kind of having that well-rounded, like, okay, I'm still running. It's still great base training, but I'm going to do an ultra paddle instead. Or if I need mm-hmm. a break, I can go, you know, hiking or climb a big mountain, or there's always jump back in and do swimming. It's summertime here. And so I'm really looking forward to a lot of open water swimming to kind of balance out, you know, the repetitive pounding of the running and all that.
Yeah. Totally. I have two questions. The first one is, how long did that take you?
The paddle?
Yes.
It took about 19 hours.
Okay. Wow.
And we also kind of drove overnight so that we wouldn't have to be away from the kids an additional night. And so I did rotate with my dad and my husband. We kind of had like a team. And so we were all kind of, I was awake the whole time paddling, but they kind of cycled in and out so that we could kind of work together to drive. And like, again, anyone that, you know, with children or not, anyone who's done a big race knows that, you know, so we were probably up for a couple days straight. So I feel like I'm just now catching back up on sleep. After that, it was an ordeal, and so much gear, so many logistics. And then, as you guys know, it's not just you, and you don't just come home and recover. Like, we came right back into kids' birthdays and end of school. And it was just so much stuff. Like, my house is just in shreds, and it's like, where do you even start? So slowly putting the pieces back together.
Yeah,
totally. But it's worth it, right? I mean, you did an amazing thing.
It is. And it made me feel like, you know, and my kids, you know, my daughter just turned 3, like, it was kind of, I've done some stuff, but this was my first really big thing. And it made me feel like, I'm an athlete, I can push myself, I can do hard things. I'm not just a mom, I am a mom as well, but I can still go out. I need a lot of help. I need more sleep that I don't get, but I can still do it. It takes a different kind of level of planning and training and recovery mm-hmm. than it did before.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
How cool it is that your kids see that, though, you know,
oh, they're and obsessed they with really, it. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, like, your history, but also you living it now is like opening their mind. I mean, you know, it's like when you think about how many adventures there could be in the world that you could go do, I mean, it's endless. And so, like, they're going to be set up from this to like do whatever kind of adventures they want to do. You know,
I totally want to support them in that. And they all taught me, you know, my son is just, he can say kayak, and my daughter, every time we live by rivers. And so every time we go over a river, she's like, I'm going to kayak that. So we want to, you know, have them at the right activity for the right age. But we took them backpacking last year in Colorado, hiking on the Colorado Trail. That was one of our first big, kid trips, and we still talk about it. We're like, oh my gosh, that was so hard. And it was right when my book was coming out, so I would be like up trying to work, and you know, it was really hard, but it was so worth it because they have great memories. And I grew up going to Colorado and want to tell them, like, you've been going to Colorado since you were little, and you went backpacking and hiking as a family, and this is who we are as a family, and you can do this too, and we're going to be there to help you.
Yeah, I love that. And so, okay, you live in Kansas.
Yes, I live in Kansas.
Okay. And so how do you train for all the things that you do? And are you traveling a lot to, like, you know, places like Colorado that have mountains, or, you know, because I know you've climbed several mountains as well, which I'd love to hear more about. You know, how do you train in Kansas?
It's definitely a challenge. A lot of the races that I've done that have had lots of vertical gain, I've never really felt like, I always feel like underprepared. And right. I just kind of had to come to peace with that and be like, you know, I'm going to do the best that I can do. I could be a lot better if I were, you know, running sprints on Pikes Peak, like a lot of mountain runners. But I've just tried to embrace who I am. And, you know, I'm just going to have to do stair training. And when I have trained for big climbs, I've, you know, made little mini trips to go, like before I climbed, in Russia, one of the 7 summits, one of the highest mountains in Europe, I climbed Mount Rainier. And so did training on that to learn ice climbing. And before I went to Kilimanjaro, I climbed a couple of Colorado 14ers. And so we're able to take weekend trips and then train around that. And that's what the great thing about running is, that when I was climbing Mount Rainier, I was in the middle of ultra run training. And so I was running 8 or 9 hours on the weekends. And so when I showed up at the mountain, I was in great mountain shape, because I had that. I mean, that was like the one time in my life that I was going to have, you know, that super great 100 mile, you know, run training, that it really, and that's kind of what I like to talk about, is that it does lend itself to other sports and other iterations. If you have that strong base, you can hop in and pick something else up and feel really good and strong about it, just by kind of being a general runner. And then you can, you know, and I do talk about seasons and different, you know, you're not going to be pushing it to that extent. For this paddle, we started in February and we knew that we were going to be really focused on it for a few months, but now it's like, hey, it's summer. We're going to get the bike stroller out. We're just going to kind of have some fun family stuff. We're going to go, you know, on little hikes, and, you know, we're kind of taking the pressure off so that we can, you know, recover from that intense time period and then get into the next phase a little bit closer to fall and just focus on, you know, so it's not that intensity level all the time.
Yeah, totally. It's so hard to sustain that.
It is. It's not sustainable. I mean, that leads to burnout, and is how I feel. So trying to give yourself space to have those breaks, or just switch it up, just change the sport. That's what I do. Just switch to another sport.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Seven Summits?
Sure. The Seven Summits are the highest mountain on each continent. And my dad went to the North Pole and the South Pole and started doing several of the Seven Summits. He hasn't done all of them, but he's done a couple more than I have. And I just thought, well, that's pretty cool. Like, one of the trips when I was a young person is what we went to Australia as a family, and we climbed Mount Kosciuszko, which is the tallest mountain on the Australian continent. Now, there's another one that is actually the more considered the entire area of Oceania, that's different. But that kind of set me up as a young person of like, hey, you should, you know, look into this and try that. And so I did that one, and then Mount Kilimanjaro, and then Mount Elbrus in Russia. And I feel bad that I keep talking about Russia, but with everything going on in the world right now, at the time this, you know, that wasn't happening. And one of the things that I did in addition to is I really studied like Russian literature, Russian culture, and kind of delved into that. And so I didn't want to just be somebody that was just going in and traveling and just like trying to conquer the mountain, because that's just not who I am. It was more of a holistic, like, let's read cultural history. Let's read literary history. Let's read travel logs and travel stories and watch the famous movies and, you know, drink tea from a samovar. And so having that background does help understand sort of some of the geopolitical things that are going on more on of like, hey, I've been there. I really hope someday that other people can go and do that kind of thing too, and that things calm down.
As we
all do, but yeah, not to just keep harping on the, you know, the conflict area. But even when I went the first year we tried to go, there was bombing on some of the mountains. There were some Chechenian rebels, and so it's always been a conflict area. I know I've seen some stories and kind of how I found out about Treeline and how they're trying to support Ukrainian ultra runners, and you know, they're still gonna have maybe a race this summer, which I think is, you know, it's a way for the running community to, you know, say, hey, let's keep our runs and our wild places, and let's support each other. And despite what's happening,
it's a different way of looking at something that might just, you know, especially if you haven't been there, you know, you just see it as a big country. But it's like, if you're actually like, oh, there's runners, there's mountains, there's, you know, it brings us all together in a way.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of, feel more invested in like what's happening to other people around the world.
Right.
So it is
for sure.
Interesting. And I do really appreciate that about you, just with how much you kind of study up on things before you go, like as part of your planning. And I mean, that's what I would want to do too, because there's so much to learn, you know, and it really expands your mind and your world and connects you to everybody else. That's really cool. So, okay. So you've done three?
Three.
Okay, cool. That is
plus other, you know, other climbs and other mountains, but not any other of the official ones. But one of the things that I really like, when I was doing the Seven Summits, there's also something called, swimming, marathon swimming has the 7 C's. And so it's swimming like different channels, like the English Channel. And then there's like different ones all on each continental area. And so I'm like, man, I mean, I'm not that great, but I'd love to be able to do that someday. So that's kind of just one of those, like, you think that you have this idea, in the Ocean 7 is what it's called. And it's like, man, there's a whole nother thing out there that I didn't even know about, and it exists, and there's people that do it, and they're just, they swim, you know, 42 miles at a time or farther. And it's just, it's so, whenever you feel, you know, like you need inspired, there's always people doing more. And that, so that's great to know and just get ideas and get inspired to keep learning and finding else what's out there.
Yeah.
Well, you did do the, I don't know how to pronounce it, that Hellespont or Hellespont?
Yes, it's the Dardanelles Strait. So it's swimming from Europe to Asia. And so that's around 3 miles, but you do have to navigate your own course. So you have to kind of study the maps and make sure that you're in the right current, and you're crossing basically the continental part of Turkey from Europe to Asia. So you're swimming. And it's famous. It's famous throughout history. It's famous in the area. And they have an event every year, and they have local swimmers. And then you can go as an international swimmer as well. So that was a big race that I did with. I like to tell the story of, there were, you know, like 800 swimmers at the start and all of these rescue boats, but somehow in the middle of the swim, I am in the middle of the ocean completely alone. Like no one is near me. There are rescue boats that I can see, but like that no one, there's no rescue going to happen. Like they're way too far away.
Oh,
so it's very, very hard moment, because, you know, at least in running, you can stop and walk, right? And swimming, like you just have to kind of keep going. Like there's no way else out. So it was a really, really crazy experience. But I'm so glad I did it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's intense. That's another level. I'm not naturally like a swimmer. I do say I prefer land, you know, but I did learn to swim a little bit in college. I was on a triathlon team, but it's like, you know, especially when you do like your first open water swim and you're just semi panicking, you know, or your first open water race, and you know, elbows are like knocking your goggles off and like kicking you in the ribs. Like it's intense.
It's a contact sport. It's like, open water triathlon swimming is a totally different sport than, you know, racing in the pool.
Right.
So how did you guys get into running, and like, what are you training for right now? Or what are the tips for balancing with kids? Cause I feel like I can't get as many long runs in as I would like. Cause it's not that I can't run. It's that I'm too tired afterwards to take care of the children without falling apart.
Right. Well,
I fall apart a lot.
I do too. And I do think like what you mentioned earlier with seasons, that's just really true. I mean, and so like right now, we both have 3 kids and my youngest just turned 1. And so it's like this year I have not felt like I haven't been drawn to like the longer stuff right now. Like I've just been kind of focusing on shorter because of volume. It's just hard to get in. And so I think if you wait until like you really want to do a certain distance or a certain race or goal, like just waiting, because then it'll feel worth it, you know, like if you really want to do it. But there's times where life is a little too crazy, and so it's okay to like simmer down a little bit, but then
it won't always be like that.
It won't. Yes, it's not it is temporary. It's not forever. But yeah, I think so I've just been doing like shorter trail races lately. And then I'm hoping to maybe like do some ultra like in the fall, but I'm not sure yet. My husband's also training for 100 miler. So, you know, it's hard when you're bored.
That's super, super hard. It's balancing both. And that's what I love about you guys. I love reading how you both write about different sides of it, or one of you is running and one of you is doing support, and you recently got like first in your age group. And that was just, that's so awesome. That's so cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I don't know, Steph, how do you, not balance, cause I don't think there's ever balance, but how do you do it?
A lot of my runs are on my treadmill because it's during nap time or while they're sleeping, or,
My husband works a lot, so it's when I can. Now that it's nicer out, I'll probably push a double stroller and then have Joanna bike with me, my oldest.
That's awesome.
We haven't tried like how far she can go yet, but even if it's like 2 miles that she can bike and I can do the rest of my run later or whatever.
Right.
Just to try to get her to go a little bit further.
Yeah.
She wants to run with me though. So I don't know. We gotta work it out. She was in school. So I was pushing the two younger ones while she was in preschool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I try and do my long run all in one big chunk, but there's a lot of times it's gotta be broken out throughout the day.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do like 10 on my treadmill and then I'll do 10 when Aaron is up with the kids, if he's there or whatever. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Not ideal, but it's the only
way. No, that's great. I mean, that's almost harder because then you can't be like, I'm done. I can just relax. You're like, I've got to do more. I mean, it's kind of great training for like that, you know, for ultras where you're just on for so long or multi-day where you just kind of have to just get it in somehow.
Yeah. Stage racing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do have a 50 miler coming up this September.
Awesome.
So I'm excited for that.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. It's just fun. I love what you guys are doing with other moms because it is difficult and it is new and you have to learn it. And there's so many additional struggles that you guys have touched on before. And it's just, I really like, you know, when I learned about your community, I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is what I need. Cause a lot of times you feel like you are struggling through it alone or how are other people doing this? Or
right.
I know.
No, it's hard. I know. It's nice to learn from other people and just kind of commiserate together.
Right.
It is just, it's completely personal too, because we all have different families and different lifestyles and we're different, but we're linked by this, you know, of trying, you know, we're all just trying and we're trying our best and we're trying to keep that part of ourselves alive.
Right.
You know, that likes the adventure. And,
right. Yes.
And it does feel good when you do that. I'm sure you felt that after your paddle recently. It's like,
it was, you hit the nail on the head. It was like, I just, that part of myself that had just to be kind of squashed down so much each day, or, you know, I gets out for an hour to do a run or something. And that's it. It was like, I just got to live that part. And it was like, this is really great. And it's even better because I get to go home and see my kids. And I had a break, if you will, and I'm happy to see them and I want to be engaged. And so it's like, you can't, like, sometimes you have to neglect it a little bit, but know that like you just keep working at it and then if you can find it feels really good and then you're happier to I think I was reading like in one of your husband's recent newsletters of like how it's just, you know, is what I'm doing, is it selfish or am I a better parent because I'm doing it? And I really felt like he, you know, had a good way of saying that of like, no, I have to do this so that I can be the kind of parent that I want to be.
It is like, it's a part of us. So,
and not even like coming home a better parent because you got your endorphins up or whatever, you feel better that you got your workout in, but showing them that they can do hard things and teaching them that, you know, I have 2 daughters. And so like when they become moms, they can still do things that they want to do and not feel guilty for it because they're not just moms. And I feel like I'm working through a lot of that so that they maybe don't have to quite as much.
Yeah. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even like for you, I think, I think adventure is a great, excuse to like try new things and like, and even just, I don't know, I'm really impressed with you because of like your planning and everything. Like, I mean, this is a big deal, like all the things you've done, but the things you continue to do. It's just, I think it teaches you like that you don't have to be stuck in life in general. Like you don't have to be like, I don't know, a victim of your circumstances or I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
you can go, you can break out, you can do it. You know, as a woman, you can do it. As a mom, you can do it. And just like make things happen. And that is a huge part of life, you know,
it is,
even
it
if
is.
It's not related to sports, you know, just,
right.
You know, you can make it happen to go to school or to get that job or whatever.
And one of the things, you guys have so many professional athletes on and they're always inspiring. But I'm not a professional athlete. And that's kind of what part of my story is that, like, you know, I might win a race occasionally, especially when I was younger, but that's like, that's not my focus now. My focus is trying new things, trying new iterations. Like, I certainly wasn't going to go win a desert stage race when I had never done anything. I mean, I ran 100 miles, but I'd never done anything like that in that environment. I didn't even know if I could keep going that many days in a row. Had to invest in all kinds of research and knowledge to build up the training and the skills and the tools, the navigating, you know, having all of the emergency gear, wearing specific like desert clothing to keep you safe from the sun. So like, I was really pushing myself out of my comfort zone. Same thing, you know, going and climbing a big mountain, you know, covered in snow and ice, where you've got your 5-layer layering system to stay mm-hmm. warm and to stay safe. And my hands get really cold. So I kind of had to, you know, trial and error of how to do that. Like, I wasn't trying to be the best or to win. I was just trying to be the best version of me. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be great to be a professional athlete. But that's just not my story. I'm just kind of an average person out, you know, trying to do the best I can. I'd like to try new things and make new things. And, so I thought it would be good to hear from somebody who's just a normal person who's done a lot of different crazy things and has written about them. And is going to keep doing them, in whatever iteration they take. I have so many ideas.
I bet. Well, okay. One, you're above average in my book. Two, oh, what was number two? oh, so yeah, that is a really good point, because, you know, you do see people going around doing a lot of races, especially nowadays, people are signing up for more of like the international races. There was a little break from that in 2020, but you're seeing it again. And, you know, professional athletes, they can, you know, I mean, you know, trips and races and things are paid for maybe, but like, how have you made it work? Just getting around the world so much, like financially, you know, how have you been able to do that? You know, what's your tips for that?
My quick answer to that is that I've always had a full-time job and I've always worked at that job too. And again, I mentioned kind of speed travel, you know, saving up your vacation and knocking it out as quick as you can, not to miss out on anything, but you know, you set aside a couple of days to see the sights, you do your event, maybe you can catch up, you know, and so it's not like these luxury vacations. I mean, I don't know who is having that, you know, but like, it's just, you know, making the most of the time that you have, and just, you know, always working too. Like right now I'm a mom of two, I have the book and I try to, you know, work on that and writing, but I also have a marketing and communications job. That kind of parlays itself into the book, because Go Far is kind of about, it has a business angle, it has a parenting angle, it has, you know, an endurance sports angle. So I felt like, and when I kind of wrote the book, I was trying to find my place. I had just had my daughter. And people are always like, oh yeah, you're doing all this adventure stuff. Just wait till you have kids. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I mean, I have to wait and see, like, maybe I will never want to run again. Maybe I won't be able to, or I just won't be able to fit it in. Mm-hmm. And so I had had her, I'd gone back to work. I was trying to kind of identify like, okay, who am I as a working mom and as an athlete? And what can I say about my experiences and how can I package that for my children, my daughter, and then my son? How can I share that with the world? And kind of, you know, it's almost a memoir of like my story, how I did things, being, you know, a normal person living in the Midwest, working, like, I kind of outlined like these three pillars of like how I was able to travel around the world and do that. And again, it's just a different approach to things. And so that was really the story that I wanted to tell in, you know, a concrete form, a published form. So it's a great question. And I hope that the book can have some, you know, various answers and reasoning behind that.
Yeah. That's so cool. I haven't read your book yet, but I want to. It sounds amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I've been reading the same book for like 3 weeks. So, you know, it's like, I'm so slow now. I'm such a huge reader and I'm reading several at the same time. And I'm like, I'll finally get to it at the end of the day. And I get like 2 pages in and then my husband comes in and I was like,
yep.
So it's okay.
I know. Well, it's like, yeah, lately I like to read in the morning if possible, but we've been having to run, and balance our running before two of us running before 7:30 AM. And so it's like, well, not going to read anything then.
Right. I know. We have like our Kindles and they just kind of come with us. So if we're like waiting in line, I'm like speed reading or something, I was like, we both have books and papers and Kindle and we have like everything all over the place. And like, we're really trying. And sometimes we get a book read, but I'm definitely a literary, I love, news and culture and politics and all of it. So like, that's another area that I'm like trying to hold on to as a mom I'm not going to lose this, but.
Cause it's hard because you have less brain space to take it all in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I know it's hard.
It's just the time. It's like, am I going to get my run in or am I going to chill out and read? Like I'm probably going to get my run in first and then, read when I'm standing in line at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I love it.
I had read somewhere though that like, I mean, obviously I know this, like kids want to mimic what you're doing. And so if you're reading, like we take 15, 20 minutes a day where I get to read my book and they get to read whatever books they want during that time. I know they can't read yet. My oldest is 4 and a half, but she like looks at the picture books or whatever. And
that is like, awesome.
I want to instill into you that reading is a good thing, mm-hmm.
I need to do that because they love to look at books, but I'm always like reading. And so it's like, I need to have my book. And mm-hmm. that's a really, really good idea. And we have these bookshelves and part of me is like, don't touch them. They need to look perfect. I'm like, what kind of message is that? Like, absolutely not. You can pull the books off. You can play with them because if you have a bunch of books and you're not going to let the children touch or play with them, like, I'm a neat freak mom, but I'm also like, nope, you got to get them out, touch them. Right. And my daughter saw one. She's like, this book's about a train. It was really cute. She loves my Russian history ones as well. And my husband is a literary major. And so they're always carrying around Shakespeare and we just get a kick out of it. But I definitely need to try that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Does your husband write also?
He is a writer, but we actually met like kind of later in life. And so he is a really great athlete, but a lot of the endurance sports are kind of new to him. And so it's been really fun for him to kind of learn some of them and jump in. And that's been fun for us. And we've been able, before we had kids, we went on some fun adventure trips. We went to the Dolomites and we did like Via Ferratas, where you're like, it's kind of like climbing. It's kind of like hiking, you clip on. And so that was kind of a new sport that combined several sports together. And we went mountain biking in the Alps and then we went, kayaking and swimming, in the ocean. So it's fun to be able to share that with him because he's very excited about it. Cause it's kind of came to him later in life.
Wow. Totally.
You guys have a lot of adventures.
We do. That's why our house is a disaster.
Fair. Because that happens to us too. I mean, it's like, honestly, it's just hard to keep on top of everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're choosing adventures. I don't know. It's not going to be perfect.
Right.
But it's
hopefully
you're going to be happy.
Setting that example and the children are having fun and being outdoors and being active. And so it's worth it in the end.
So I'm curious about kind of like the mental side of, just your history with adventures and like, how's your mindset, things that you've learned, life lessons? I mean, because the sports that we do are just not just physical. We know that, like endurance, it's like we have to go through so much in our heads. And then those really do line up so much in our lives. Also, like how has that shaped you and your mindset and then translated into motherhood?
That is a really great question, because I honestly think motherhood is harder because it doesn't end. It's all day, every week, every minute,
relentless.
And so we joke a lot about the fact that I wrote this book, and that I'm supposed to be practicing these endurance mindsets. And I really do try to, but sometimes I do get tired.
Oh yeah. We can't be perfect or anything, you know.
But it's great. And I think just sticking with it, and you know, even just coming off this paddle, you know, I might have had a really tough 20-mile section, but then you get out, you stretch your legs, you go to the bathroom, you get a snack, and you're back in, and the sun is setting and it's beautiful. And suddenly you've kind of got more of a flow going. And so it's the next 20-mile section is like amazing. And that's how ultra running and trail running is. And you know that, but sometimes you forget it. So, you know, experiencing that like how you feel now is not how you're going to feel later. And it's the same way on long days with kids. You know, you go through a moment when everyone's pooping in the pool and, you know, screaming, and there's messes everywhere, and food is on the hot stove, and there's nowhere to put anyone. But then everybody calms down and you read a book, or, you know, you play with bugs, and it's, you know, really good and great too. And you don't even remember the stress of that, you know, intense 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it really, I find that it mirrors itself so much. And I think probably by having these ultra experiences, they're kind of, you know, like the parenting experience condensed. So it should help us and kind of parlay itself into each other, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. It is a practice. It's like going and running long, or climbing or swimming long, or you do everything. So everything long, it is a practice of like kind of getting low and working through some stuff.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I like that. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just a personal question, something that I'm curious about, like, what is one of your like favorite places in the world? I know that's such a hard thing to answer probably. And then also I'm wondering who are you? Like, do you prefer like mountains or ocean, or like north or south, or, you know, what are you drawn to?
Great questions. I love those. So I'm definitely a water person. Mm-hmm. I love the water and I crave the water. And my daughter was born in May. And so postpartum, I was like in the water. It was like how I kind of reconnected with my body, you know, because running is so, you're moving straight forward. And in the water, I could just sort of like release the tension, the ever, you know, present motherhood tension. And I still feel like that. Like, I will have weeks and I'm like, I don't care what time I have to get up in the morning. I have got to get in the pool because I need to be underwater with no stimulation, like in my own head. And just like, it's the movement, and it, I feel like it really pairs well. Like, it, even like, I like to do yoga too. Like the yoga and the water, like, are great recovery tools for running and biking and adventure sports. But you know, the pool is great, but being outside, like in a lake, I have some gorgeous lakes that I swim at here, but the ocean, one of my favorite places in the world is the Aegean Sea. Okay. Outside of Greece, in that gorgeous blue, like surrounding yourself with the blue and the waters, that is definitely what my place.
That sounds so good right now. Relaxing. Just to be in water in general, but also beautiful water would help too.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, the Kansas lakes are often brown, and so, you know, the water feels good. A lot of the, you know, more of the state parks ones, but it doesn't look beautiful. And then, you know, sometimes you can find a beautiful one and it's wonderful, especially on a summer day. But yeah, when you can find water and a beautiful color water, you're even more thankful, especially when, you know, most of the rivers, you know, are kind of brown too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Have you ever done like adventure racing?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like Eco Challenge, or I watched Eco Challenge, like Fiji, I think it
was. Yes, we did too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, I was like, it's so beautiful. And I want to do something like that so bad. Have you done that?
I have. And I was actually just having this conversation with myself, like at heart, you know, I've always been a swimmer and a runner, and I've never been able to choose between the two. It's like chocolate and vanilla or sugar cookies and chocolate chip cookies. Like, I don't know. I like them both. Like, they both have these benefits and these great things. And they balance each other out. So you just need both. But in that vein, like, that's kind of why I think I'm an adventure racer at heart. And I grew up watching the Eco Challenge. It inspired me to do a lot of things. And in the mid 2000s, I did a lot of adventure racing. I did sprints, 2 and 3 hours, mid distance, all over the country, 5 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours. I designed my own 24-hour. And then kind of how I train is a lot of use of like adventure racing tenets. And actually, so I was so excited to have my husband watch Eco Challenge, World's Toughest Race, Fiji. And Travis Macy, who was on that, actually wrote an advance review for my book. And he's one of the premier adventure racers. And I was on his podcast, and we have kind of a lot in common. Just because like he kind of grew up in the sport and I kind of grew up in the sport too, and our dads are kind of the same generation. I just feel like at my heart and at my core, like, I am an adventure racer. And just the multitude of sports, like the disciplines, like the navigating, like triathlons are great, but they're very like measured and succinct. And like, I'm not that kind of person. Like, I want to chart my own course. I want a few obstacles thrown in. I want a scavenger hunt. Like, I want to not know what's next. Like, the whole like focused on like just sprinting through on a set track. I mean, that's great and fun, and it has its role, and it's good to have that experience. But like, I'm more of like, be out in the wild, go somewhere you don't know. But I absolutely love adventure racing. And I actually just went, one of the first places I was able to go after COVID, I went to Hawaii to do a talk on GoFar. And I was like, I have to try outrigger paddling, outrigger canoeing. It's the state sport of Hawaii. And so I made sure that I had time in my schedule to do that, because a lot of adventure racers, any adventure race in the Pacific, and you might remember that from Eco Challenge Fiji, they do outrigger paddling. And I was like, you know, I'm in the midst of this paddle training, and I, you know, rowed and kayaked and canoed and done just every kind of boat, but I hadn't done that. So I was like, I'm going to be here. I've got to try it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it on adventure racing, and then I'll know how to do it if I ever, you know, do a race. But I have a lot of adventure racing running friends around the world. Another one of them wrote the foreword for my book. And so it's just fun to, because sometimes you're like, am I the only crazy person doing this? And part of this process, I was able to kind of connect with the greater community in a different way than I had before. And that's been fun, because it's just, you know, a special kind of person that that is drawn to that. And I think I definitely am that person.
Totally. Wow. Yeah, I love that. It's so inspiring to me.
I know.
You know, and just like, oh, I don't know how to do that, so let's just figure it out. Let's go there to Hawaii, and while we're there, like, just
learn something.
Explore it. We'll join a crew, you know, sign up. And I loved it, 'cause I felt like I was automatically part of the team. Like, I just jumped on and I was part of the team and picked up what I could. And, you know, it was so fun. And, it was okay that I didn't know how to do it. They kind of taught me what I needed to do, and I'm not going to go out on my own anytime soon without more training, but I, you know, I got to experience it. So
that is so cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I want to be really conscious of your time. I know you got to go soon, but do you have any grand adventures coming up that you're working on?
Well, just coming off this 100-mile ultra paddle, I kind of wanted to do that because I was a triathlete. I've done a 100-mile bike ride. As an ultra runner, I've done a 100-mile run. And so I wanted another sport to have that trio. So I want to do a 100-mile paddle. So I kind of call it the ultra trifecta. So I'm trying to just enjoy that. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a lot of fun family stuff this summer, hiking, biking, running with the kids in the stroller, doing some, I got some new tools to do some cross country swimming. It's big in the UK. And so you have like, we've kind of seen the buoys that you use behind you to swim. This is like a giant buoy with a rucksack. And so you can put camping gear or change of clothes, food, and you can swim from place to place and kind of camp. Like, think of like bike packing.
Oh, wow.
So I want to do some of that. And
that's so interesting.
Yeah.
We also do some pack rafting with pack rafts where you can do biking or running with them. We did some of that with training for the paddle as well. So we just have some kind of adventures like that we're going to be putting together close to home for now until the fall. And then we'll see what happens in the fall.
Oh, so fun.
That's great.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I love it.
That's amazing. And you're teaching your kids to just go out and do things and try new things and learn new things. And it's amazing.
Well, thanks.
I love it. Yeah. You are super inspiring, Jennifer.
Oh, good. Well, you guys are too.
Thank you. Well, and we're also, we're going to link to your book. Do you want to tell us where listeners can find more information about you and your book?
Sure. Yes. My website is jenniferstrongmcconn.com. Mm-hmm. And there's a link to like my social media profiles. I do a lot on Instagram, Twitter. And then there's a link on the website to buy the book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. It's also available worldwide. So if you have an independent bookstore that you want to support, most of them might have it, especially in the US, but they can always order it as well. And my bookstore here in Wichita will ship if someone doesn't have a set place. So that's the great thing. It is available worldwide. And it's also on Kindle. If anyone wants to, read while they're waiting in line, like I do.
Yeah, for sure.
Gotta be efficient.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of this really inspiring stuff with us. It makes me want to just like itch to like go do something big somewhere, but also enjoy the local scene too.
Yes.
Because there is a lot right in front of us too.
Right, for sure. And it's just, wherever we're at right now, we'll find something that's right for now and we'll go from there.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it was great to meet you both. I'm so glad to connect and I've loved following along and glad to be part of it. So
thank you.
Oh, Jennifer is so cool.
I know.
She's so cool. Oh, I'm so inspired. And I just want to go around the world and I want to read about the places and dream and read the literature and know cultures and just
Be like immersive.
Yes. Exactly. You know what I'm saying.
I got
I just love how she pushes herself out of her comfort zone. And it's just, she even said in there, she was like, I'm not necessarily trying to be the best. Like she's not an elite sponsored athlete, but she's trying to be the best version of herself by these adventures and doing what makes her feel alive and joyful. And I think that is so good and so cool. And that's, I don't know. That just like struck a chord with me. She's like, I'm just this normal person. I'm like, okay, you're above normal, but
above normal, way above.
Yeah. She's still just doing this stuff. And I think it's awesome. So,
And it just takes so much mental capacity. Obviously like the physical stuff we know about, but the planning, like the 100-mile paddle and then this other stuff that she's got planned, like it's a lot to keep in your brain. But I feel like she gives herself like lots of time so that she's not stressed about it. That 100-mile paddle was many years in the making and she should be extremely proud of herself for accomplishing that. Cause that is awesome.
It is so good. Well, we hope you all enjoyed this episode as much as we did. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. You can also subscribe to Treeline Journal's newsletter, which is at treelinejournal.com. So you can get the newest episodes delivered to your inbox once a week. And
you can find us on Instagram at runhardmomhardpod. And then you can also leave us a voice message using the anchor link in the show notes below. We would love to hear from you any way you reach out. And don't forget to go to treelinecoffee.com and use code RUNHARD10 for 10% off of your You Got This blend.
Best coffee in the world.
It is.
Okay. We hope you all are well. Go plan something, go do something fun that makes you feel good and just go do it. Maybe it's like a new trail or you plan a little local destination. Jennifer also was inspiring about exploring local places too. It doesn't have to be on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So go do something for you. Some like,
I can cut it out. I can cut out mine. My audio. You are great at sound effects, Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should keep that in.
He likes to talk.
Yeah, I will. Keep that little part in.
Yeah. Say mama.